Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're learning English, it's important not only just to study the language, but to study the culture of the language that you're learning. And if you want to speak like an American, I'll teach you 25 phrases in today's English lesson that will show you exactly how Americans speak. I promise you that the phrases in today's lesson are ones that actually are used in American English, and native speakers like myself use these types of phrases every day. So make sure you study the phrases in this video. They'll teach you beyond what your textbook can actually teach you about the English language. Let's get started with today's lesson. It's a scam.
I don't even want to change a scam.
So what's the scam, Betty? You take
this whole thing's a scam.
I hope that you've never been scammed, but it happens so frequently. And in English, when something is fake or someone tries to kind of steal something from you by being deceptive, we call that a scam. So someone might lie to you and say, hey, this is an actual iPhone. It's the best iPhone ever. Give me $100 and I'll sell this iPhone to you. Well, it turns out that it's either not a real iPhone or they just take your money and don't give you anything. We call this a scam. And if we want to say that a person is, you know, kind of a liar and they're likely to scam you, or sometimes we say rip you off, which means basically the same thing as a scam. You know, they try to sell you something or take your money somehow, we say that they are a scammer. A lot of times on the telephone, people call you and, you know, say like, your computer is being taken over. If you don't give us $100, you know, your computer is going to have all these viruses. That is usually a scam. It's actually always a scam. No one will ever call you and ask you to give them money if it's not a scam. If you want to tell someone that they don't need to worry about something, you can say, there's no need to worry.
There's no need to worry.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
If you want to tell someone that there's no reason to have to hurry up or go fast or quickly, you can say, there's no need to rush. This phrase, there's no need to, and then you insert the verb. It's a really useful phrase in English. We use this all the time when we want to reassure someone that they don't have to do something. It's not required of them. If you want to tell someone at work that they don't have to worry about doing something, they can just relax or they can work on something else because you've already done the project or the task, you can say, there's no need to worry about the report I've already submitted. Or if you want to tell someone, you know, I'm coming to pick you up, but we are not in a hurry, we have plenty of time, you can say, there's no need to rush, we have plenty of time. So this phrase, there's no need to, it's incredibly popular in English. Make sure you add it to your English vocabulary. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Oftentimes in English, when people feel like, you know, they don't have to work any harder because they can't change the situation or they can't change the outcome, or they say, oh, sorry, it's like this. People say, well, it is what it is. This is just a very common way to say, let's just accept this situation because we can't really change anything about it. So maybe it's raining outside and you and your friends were going to enjoy the day and have a picnic. It is what it is. At least we can spend some time together inside. So that means we can't change the weather. It is what it is, but we can still do this fun thing. So oftentimes we follow it is what it is with a positive aspect, or sometimes we call it a silver lining of the situation. A silver lining is just a positive thing that has to do with a negative situation. And if you want to know more color idioms like that one, silver lining, make sure to check out my last idiom video that is all about color idioms. A lot of my English learners have found this video super useful as well, but let's keep going with these 25 phrases that you absolutely need to know too. To be frazzled.
You know what? I'm feeling a little less frazzled, I thought.
Okay, so in English, this is an awesome idiom because It combines a lot of different feelings. It combines being stressed, overwhelmed, tired. Instead of just saying all of those things, we can say, I'm sorry, I'm just so frazzled. And this kind of reminds me of frizz. If you've ever heard the word frizz in English, it describes when someone's hair is all puffed up and messy, like frizzy. Instead of saying frizzy to describe the feeling of just being like messy, overwhelmed, tired, say, oh, I'm frazzled. So you don't want to be frazzled. It's usually a negative feeling if you say you're frazzled. When my kids are running around screaming, they have nothing to do, I feel really frazzled. I'm like, everyone sit down. Let's play a game. Let's do something. I just try to organize the situation that's going on. If you're in the workplace and you have a meeting and then just a 5-minute break and then another meeting and then another meeting, you might start to feel frazzled because you've had no time to eat a meal or get organized or figure out, you know, what's on the schedule for the day. You might just feel overwhelmed and stressed or frazzled. Have you heard this next idiom? It's a really, really interesting one. To spill one's guts.
Now, you know, this American idiom, spill one's guts.
So if you want to say, I'm going to spill my guts to you, it has nothing to do with the inside of your body. It's more of revealing some truth or revealing how you actually feel about a situation. So oftentimes when people go to therapy, it just feels good to spill their guts to their therapist. And that just means to tell them all of, you know, how they feel about everything, maybe some things that they would normally keep a secret. It just feels good to spill your guts and tell someone exactly how you feel about things that you normally wouldn't say. Or if you want to tell someone, you know, tell me exactly how you feel. If they won't spill your guts, let's hear it. So this phrase, it just means reveal how you actually feel or kind of reveal your secrets and your secret feelings. To show up uninvited.
Yeah, they always show up uninvited.
People show up uninvited for dinner.
Have you ever had a guest show up at a party or a meeting and no one really wanted them there? They showed up uninviting. They showed up uninvited. So this phrase is very useful when you have a guest that you literally didn't invite. You didn't want them there. You can say, well, they showed up uninvited. A lot of times in English, instead of saying that we're confused, we'll use this next idiom. We'll say that we have brain fog.
Princeton's like a fog.
Brain fog describes that feeling when you just can't really focus on anything. You can't really think of the right answer to something. You're just all confused and you're not really focused on things. If I stay up way too late and I don't get enough sleep, the next day I will have brain fog. I will be making mistakes all of the time. I'll just be confused and I can't really think very well if I stay up too late because I have brain fog. So brain fog isn't an actual medical condition, but it's just an idiom that we use to describe feeling confused or kind of tired and you just can't think very clearly. On the other hand, if you're feeling very tense, very nervous, and very anxious, sometimes we say that we feel on edge.
I'm completely on edge right now.
So if you have a big presentation coming up and you're feeling really nervous and, you know, somebody asks you, are you nervous for your presentation tomorrow? And you get kind of angry at them for even asking about it or bringing the topic up. You can say, I'm sorry, I'm on edge because I am nervous about my presentation. Or if someone is acting really, you know, angry, they're, you know, giving you rude responses and you think that they're just stressed out, you can say, it's okay, she's just on edge, or he's just on edge. That's why he's acting so angry and rude. To ramble, or often we say in English, to ramble on.
You're just going to ramble on.
When someone is just talking and talking and talking and talking, and they're not really making a lot of sense, or they're just talking about things that you don't really care about, you can describe that as someone rambling, or you could say they're rambling on. Or if you are talking to someone and you don't want to talk too much, you'll say, I don't want to ramble right now. This means you don't want to just keep talking for no reason. Sometimes when people are nervous, they tend to ramble on or just keep talking, even though they don't have many important things to say. They're just talking because they feel nervous. They're rambling. Or maybe you've known someone that it seems like they just like to talk. Maybe they're kind of lonely. You can call them a rambler. Yeah, they kind of ramble, so I don't want to talk to them for too long. Because if people ramble, oftentimes we're saying that the things that they're talking about aren't very important. They're just talking to have a conversation and to keep you around. The next phrase in English is a little bit tricky for my students to understand. Sometimes in English we say they aren't the type.
Veronica, you are not the type.
How would you know?
So we're saying they don't have this type of characteristic or this personality. So if you know someone that's very shy, maybe they like to stay in and play video games, they don't really like to go to parties, you can say they're not really the type to go out on Friday nights. This means, you know, that's not their personality because they are quite the opposite, actually. Or if you're surprised by someone's behavior because they don't typically have the personality or the characteristics to be doing that sort of thing, you can say, I'm surprised you're at the concert right now. You're not the type to enjoy crowds. This can be, you know, a way we use the phrase. Or if we're really surprised and we want to doubt that someone did something, we could say, well, they're not usually the type to lie. This means they are very honest and I would be surprised if they lied. This next phrase is used when you strongly dislike something or you don't want to wear something or you don't want to be in a place. You can say, I wouldn't be caught dead doing the thing.
I wouldn't be caught dead with someone stupid enough to drive that car.
Or I wouldn't be caught dead wearing a dress. Or I wouldn't be caught dead going to a concert. This just means that whatever action or place you're talking about, you would not do it. It's not like you at all, and you're actually probably pretty against it. So maybe you are super, super healthy, and you believe that eating all sugar is very bad. You could say, I wouldn't be caught dead eating a piece of cake. So this is a very dramatic expression that we like to use in English, but we use it a lot. I wouldn't be caught dead doing that. Maybe you wouldn't be caught dead doing it because you are embarrassed by whatever thing or whatever place it is. When you want to say that everyone is acting normal, even though there's kind of a weird circumstance or event going on, you can say, well, things are business as usual today.
Yeah, sure.
Business as usual, huh?
Maybe there's a holiday, but you are still expected to work. Your boss might say, I know that it is Valentine's Day, President's Day coming up, which are two really small holidays in the United States. Not everybody gets those days off of work. Your boss might say, I know it's a holiday, but it's business as usual today. Or sometimes in the United States, when we get big snowstorms, we sometimes cancel school, but sometimes it's just business as usual. The teacher might say, I know it's snowing outside, but it's business as usual. Let's get back to our studying. If you've ever met someone who won't take responsibility for a mistake, or they won't take responsibility for a job they're supposed to do and they just, you know, make you do it instead, in English, we have a very specific way of saying this. We say, they're going to turn it around on you.
You try to turn it around on me.
If you meet someone who, you know, makes a big mistake and they say, oh, it's all your fault, they're turning it around on you. Or oftentimes, if we're in an argument with someone, they, you know, turn everything in the situation back onto you. So they say, oh, you're actually a bad friend, or you did this mistake, it's not me. So turning something around on someone else, we use this phrase just to say like they're shifting blame or they're shifting a negative situation that should be about one person to the other person. So don't turn the argument around on me. That's just an example of how we might use this phrase when we're having an argument and we don't want someone to start saying negative things to us. The plot has thickened.
But the plot thickens.
This next idiom, I'm hearing more and more in everyday conversations with my friends right now. And we use this phrase to mean that, you know, things have just gotten interesting. Maybe there's some drama or there's some detail that makes a situation kind of mysterious or more interesting. You definitely can use this phrase, the plot has thickened, if you're reading a book or if you're watching a movie and something really interesting or mysterious happens. We talk about the plot as being the story or the problem in a movie or in a book. So if we're saying that the story or the plot has thickened, we mean it's gotten more interesting. And in our everyday life, if, you know, you're trying to figure out who stole something and you're pretty sure it's one person, but then you find some evidence or some new detail that suggests it's a different person. So now nobody knows who stole the thing that you're looking for. You can say, well, the plot has thickened. We don't know who it was. This just means it has become more interesting or more mysterious. Speaking of mysteries, this next idiom would be very useful as well. We are talking about mysteries or problem. So sometimes in English, we describe solving a problem as putting the pieces together.
You'll put the pieces together for her.
Or you can say putting the puzzle pieces together. Especially if you're talking about solving a crime or a mystery, you're taking different pieces of evidence and putting them together, putting the pieces together. So oftentimes when there's a car accident, they will ask, you know, the driver of one car what happened, the driver of the other car what happened. They'll look at the physical evidence of each car and they'll put the pieces together to decide whose fault it was that there was a car crash or a car accident. Or sometimes you might meet someone new and they're describing some things about their life and you're like, it sounds like maybe they were married before and they got divorced. But they didn't tell you directly this. So you just kind of are guessing based on them saying, oh, well, my ex-husband, da 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 da. You say, I put the pieces together and I figured out, you know, they're not married anymore. They got divorced. This just means you're kind of solving something without someone directly telling you the detail or the thing about themselves. Have you ever met someone in life that just really rolls with the punches?
Roll with the punches. Tomorrow's another day.
This next idiom means that someone is very flexible and they can react to a lot of different setbacks or surprises in life. If you're at work and someone says, you know, we're having all these problems with this technology, we can't get it to work, we can't get this project done, you can say, it's okay, we'll just roll with the punches and we'll do our best to get everything done, even though there's some problems. So this is suggesting, you know, you're very laid back, you're very flexible, and you're not going to be angered or worried when there are some problems when you're trying to get something done. So when you say that someone just rolls with the punches, this is typically describing them very positively, like they can get stuff done even if there's problems or setbacks. This next phrase, be very careful with, because if you use it in the wrong context, it could potentially be pretty offensive. So the phrase is shut up or put up.
Shut up, Alan.
So the phrase shut up itself is quite offensive in English. If you tell someone to shut up, it's very, very rude. It's considered rude. And if you're trying to be harsh and rude, of course, use this phrase. And make sure that, you know the person pretty well. You know they won't react to it too harshly if you use it. The phrase shut up or put up, it is telling someone to stop criticizing something or complaining about something unless they are going to take action to fix the thing or make something better. So shut up or put up. So you might encounter someone that is complaining about how you're cleaning. And you might say, well, shut up or put up. Clean it yourself or stop complaining. A really common idiom that's used in English to say, like, why am I confused? What information did I not hear is, what am I missing here?
What am I missing here?
I was listening to a podcast the other day and the speaker said, everyone seemed so happy and I was so miserable. I was thinking, what am I missing here? So this is just saying, like, what don't I understand? Why am I missing something that makes everyone else happy in the same situation? Or if you read something and you can't figure out why the person thought, you know, this plan would work, you could say, I've read your plan several times and I just don't think it will work. What am I missing here? So this is like, am I missing some sort of information or detail that will make this plan make sense? And sometimes when you ask this question to someone, it seems really obvious. Oh, you're missing this. You didn't realize that, you know, we have to do it this way or something. So this question can really help clarify a situation in English. Have you ever heard someone say in English that they got a wake-up call?
I'm not a shrink, Bob. I'm a wake-up call.
So the literal meaning of this is someone calls your phone in order to make sure you wake up, just like an alarm clock. So you can request this when you're staying at a hotel. But oftentimes in English, we also use this as an idiom to mean that we had something in life that made us realize our priorities. So for instance, Maybe you got laid off or fired from your job. And you could say, well, getting laid off from my job actually turned out to be a wake-up call because I realized I needed to spend more time with my family and less time on work. Or oftentimes when people have poor health and they realize, you know, life is pretty terrible when you don't have good health, it's a wake-up call to them and they start living a more healthy lifestyle. In English, instead of saying we are going to keep a secret, oftentimes we say we are going to keep something to ourselves.
You keep to yourself.
Why are you arresting him?
So this means we're not going to tell everyone the information. It's going to be a secret. Or if you want to tell someone, you know, don't tell everyone this, you know, keep it very quiet. You can say, keep it to yourself. If you are engaged to be married, or if you're pregnant, you're going to have a baby, oftentimes you will tell someone the exciting news and you'll say, keep it to yourself because we haven't told everyone yet. So you want to have the chance to tell everyone personally your exciting news or secret. Or if you trust someone, you can say, I trust that they will keep it to themselves. A lot of times in English, when you are going to have a meeting with someone, in order to talk about some details of something or to plan something out, you can say, we are going to have a meeting to talk specifics.
Can't really talk specifics, but...
So this phrase just means like, we're not just going to talk generally, we're actually going to plan out every detail, every specific detail of the plan or the trip or whatever it might be. If you want to say that someone has agreed to a deal, but you haven't, you know, worked out every single detail, you can say, well, they agreed, but we haven't talked specifics yet. So this phrase is very useful in English when you have only talked about something generally and not specifically yet. You could say, we'll talk specifics later. Or you can ask someone, do you want to get dinner with me? And they'll say, sure. And you'll say, well, okay, we'll talk specifics later. That means we'll plan out the details of where we're eating and when we're eating and who's driving to the restaurant later. Being polite while you're speaking English is very important, just like in any other language or culture. And if you want to tell someone that they need to be careful about the way that they're speaking, either to another person or to yourself, you can say, hey, watch your tone.
Hey, watch your tone, Klaus.
This means don't speak so rudely. So instead of saying, don't be rude, we say, watch your tone. That means don't speak to me rudely. Oftentimes, if you're watching a movie or a TV show, the mom will say to the children, watch your tone. That means, you know, don't give me attitude or don't be rude to me. Be very respectful and polite. Have you ever fallen head over heels in love with someone?
That I'll fall head over heels for Joe?
So this idiom, head over heels, it means that someone is very in love or very infatuated with someone. So we often use this phrase, head over heels in love. We use those two phrases together. Or sometimes we just say, I'm head over heels for them. That means you're very, very infatuated or pretty in love with someone. Now, we typically don't use this phrase, head over heels, when two people have been happily married for a long time. We use this phrase when people have just met and they instantly fall in love. So at the very beginning of a relationship is when we say two people are head over heels for one another. A must-know phrase in English is to not miss a beat.
Didn't miss a beat.
Or we often say the person didn't miss a beat. So I think of this idiom as coming from the idea that when someone plays music, if they play it perfectly, they don't miss any beats on the measure of music that they're playing. In life, when there's something surprising or kind of confusing, but it doesn't make you make a mistake, you can say, well, that didn't make me miss a beat. Or if someone, you know, reacted to a situation really well and, you know, you wouldn't have known that there was any problem going on, you could say they did not miss a beat. For instance, maybe someone at your work quits, but everyone still is getting all the work done and nobody's missing any deadlines. You could say, we did not miss a beat, even though Sally quit last week. Thank you so much for learning these 25 idioms with me. I promise that if you learn these idioms, you'll hear American speakers use them all the time. Oftentimes, when we learn new phrases, that's when we really start to notice them or pick up on them. in our everyday English conversations. If you guys want to learn more idioms and phrases that native speakers actually use in English, make sure to visit EnglishWithKayla.com or just check out the next two videos on screen. I'll have two lessons that will help you learn more phrases that you can use in your everyday conversations. Thanks again for watching. I'll see you in the next lesson. Goodbye.